Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Good morning, City Life family. My name is Jazz. I am one of the leaders here in City Life. I serve in multiple areas of our team, but most importantly, and the one I'm proud of mostly, is CLY. I love CLY. So to all my teens, shout out to them, because our CLY this year has been probably one of the most fruitful seasons of our life, and a lot of the teens are so excited and engaged in learning more about God, and it's been super amazing to be a part of that. So also, to all the parents, thank you guys for sending your teens to CLY, and I hope that their growth can be an evidence of what Jesus is doing in them. So yeah, anyways, all right, so today we are continuing our series on Under the Influence, which focuses on the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're new to Christianity or still exploring faith, I want to take a moment to briefly explain who the Holy Spirit is. And honestly, when I was new to faith as well, I didn't know. So again, if you're feeling alone, you're not. I also was confused. The Holy Spirit is one of the three persons of the Trinity, along with God the Father and God the Son, which is Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is God's active presence in our lives today. He guides us, gives us wisdom, and empowers us to carry out the mission of Jesus, which is to spread the good news of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is also our helper and comforter, especially in difficult season. He encourages us daily, convicts us when we stray, and draws us back when we drift from our faith. Because that happens, right? Throughout the series now, we've been exploring how the Holy Spirit works. By looking at the book of Acts, we're using the lives of the early disciples and followers of Jesus as examples of how the Spirit moves, leads, and transforms. And today, I'm excited because we're going to focus on Acts chapters 20 and 21 and the story of Paul as he feels compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, even though everyone around him is warning not to go, and how the Holy Spirit seemingly ghosted him. Has anybody heard of that term, ghosted? Great. All right, that's awesome. So I want to start off this message by asking a question. Who here has ever been ghosted before? Raise those hands, people. It's okay. Me too. I just want to define what ghosting is. So ghosting is to abruptly end all communication with someone without any explanation. It's a term that came from the dating world in the early 2000s, and predominantly from online dating, where people would match, have conversation, and then end everything. They would ghost. And you ask, why is that? I have no idea. This generation, non-committal people. I'm kidding. So now if you've raised your hand, said yes, you've been ghosted before, me too. And if you did not raise your hand, then you're probably the one ghosting people. 278 unread messages. I know some of y'all are out there. But he's like, whoa. Yeah. But before I start, I just want to share a little story, actually, back in my first year of Bible college. So I remember this one season of my life where I was interested in dating. I was in Bible college, saw a beautiful girl, and I was like, oh my gosh, a woman of God. And I was like, but here's the thing. I was like, I'm interested, but here's the thing. I don't know how to talk to women. I don't know how to approach girls or relationships. So I was like, you know what? I have faith, though. I have faith. I will trust the Holy Spirit. So I started slow, focused on building relationship. We had some deep, meaningful conversations about faith, calling, dreams, and why they chose to follow Jesus. So as time went by, I found myself in the perfect position. You know, the friend zone. The brother in Christ. Y'all are laughing, but friendship is the great foundation for any relationship, right? Let me preach that one. But and so, yeah, then a couple months later, we get to the part of Bible college where we spend a whole week learning about relationships, how to navigate marriage, how to navigate dating, and how to navigate friendships. And I'm like, wow, God, you're really moving in my life. This might be the time. So I was tuned in. I was listening. I was like, I heard some encouraging things during this time, like just keep on serving. And one day you'll look to the side and you'll see someone serving just as hard as you. And I'm like, amen, pastor. The Holy Spirit is strong with you on this one. So I'm serving right by my crush, holding babies, serving in kids, lifting as many chairs as I can because that's what Christian boys do. And then next day, I was like, another thing they would say is the season that you focus on building your relationship with God and stop looking may just be the season where your partner may find you. I think she might be lost at this point because pushing 30 after Bible college, nothing happened. So I was like, okay, change the focus about God. So a couple months later, I thought doing the right things to increase my chances with her, waited until after Bible college to officially ask her out for coffee. Then I got the dreaded, sorry, I'm not in a season to be dating, which is a Christian girl's version of not interested. Then all of a sudden, ghosted, kind of stopped talking because things got too awkward, which I just want to say, actually, this isn't on my message, but I just want to say in regards to dating. Just in regards to this dating. Guys, if you like someone, address what you feel, communicate what you feel about this person as clearly as you can, and approach it. If you get a yes, great, you found yourself a potential partner. If not, then you found yourself a beautiful friend. Don't be petty. Don't be angry. Don't be bitter. Take rejection as it is. Grow from it and humble yourself, okay? Do not allow the fear of rejection take you from opportunities and allow it to dictate how you take your risks in the future. Now, ladies, if a guy approaches you, you know what I mean? If a guy approaches you, acknowledge their vulnerability, address their courage, because it takes a lot to muster up that courage, and then communicate how you feel about them. Turn them down, shut them down, but shut them down with grace. Now, if you're interested and you said yes, let them earn it. You're a daughter of God. Let them earn it. Let them pursue you. And if you know what, if that's a godly man, he will push through. And so now to both parties, value friendship more than you do romantic potentiality. Don't let things get too awkward because you're so called to build the kingdom of God together. And don't allow that to divide the house of the Lord. Anyways, that's it. I just wanted to pause mostly because it's like, things get awkward, people get petty, and you're like, not today, not in the house of the Lord. Anyways, all right, now bring it back. Okay, so, yeah, God ghosted, too awkward. All right, then I'm praying to God what to do now. But even then, nothing felt clear, maybe because I wasn't, you know, I haven't grown fully yet or haven't matured yet. Either way, I felt ghosted. Now, my question to you guys is, have you ever been there where it felt like God was leading you through a certain process, whether it's marriage, whether it's financial status, whether it's career, where God is leading you through a certain process, trusting and putting your faith in him, doing the right things just for everything to turn out not in a way you hoped for? The feeling where it felt like the Spirit was loud and clear with instructions, and then suddenly it's quiet. Now, throughout the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is front and center. Mentioned 55 times before Acts 21, where he was speaking, guiding, warning, empowering the followers of Christ. It's loud. He's clear. He's constant. But what do you do when it's not clear? What do you do when the Spirit goes quiet? And that's what makes today's passage of Acts 20 and 21 so powerful, because in this story, Paul was warned of the dangers by the Holy Spirit and other people if he goes to this place called Jerusalem. But he goes anyways. Now, if somebody doesn't listen to you, does that mean they're ghosting you? Not necessarily. Maybe you just have bad advice, whichever one. Paul isn't ghosting God. He's following him. And we'll read this in chapter 20, where Paul was compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem regardless of the hardship. But once he gets there, though, it's like the Spirit still goes silent, and he got ghosted. And so maybe you've been there, too, where you did everything right. You followed the prompts. You obeyed the whispers. And then it's quiet. And the Holy Spirit's just silent. So today, we're going to explore what to do when that happens and why God being silent in your life might not be what you think it is. So let's start with Acts 20, verse 22 to 24. Guys, I love the Bible. You learn so much. Okay, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. And now that's a calling for all of us too. The way that we live our lives, the way that we communicate with people, I hope that you represent Jesus in your everyday. Not just on a Sunday, but every day throughout the week. Then, in Acts 21, we see Paul being warned again. It says, "We sought out the disciple there and stayed with them for 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city. And there on the beach, we went out to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship and they returned home. We continued our I can never say that word right. I think it's the Filipino in me sometimes. We continued our voyage, bon voyage, from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, of one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Extra anointing to those unmarried daughters. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, 'The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles.' Now, when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered," and this is really cool, he says, "'Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not to only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" Man, Paul is committed. "When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, 'The Lord's will be done.'" Same thing I say to my friends who don't listen to some advices. The Lord's will be done in your life. Now, here's a question. So multiple times there, initially in Acts 20, Paul was compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. But along that time, he was also seeing these multiple prophetic visions of what will happen to him there. And now the Holy Spirit showed the same thing to the people that were telling Paul, "Well, this is going to happen to you, so don't go." Now, at first glance, it seems like Paul is ignoring repeated warnings, right? But if we look closer in Acts 21:11, it says the Holy Spirit says, "In this way, the Jewish leaders will bind the owner of this belt." It doesn't say, "Don't go," because the owner will be bound by the owner of this belt. It doesn't say, "Don't go." It just says what will happen if he does. The followers saw a prophetic revelation of what awaited Paul in Jerusalem, not direct commands for Paul to stay away. It's kind of like this. When my mom tells me to not go to Leduc because, hey, the winds are extreme today, it's just in case you plan to drive to Leduc today, she's just warning me. It's just like, "Oh, it's windy, don't know if you want to drive through that, and it might rain later tonight." She's not saying don't go. However, I know my mom, she's probably implying that don't go. She's not saying don't go, she's just saying be ready and be careful. So what the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul is the Holy Spirit revealed the reality of what will happen, not necessarily a restriction. And I want us to be able to understand this part, because sometimes there's going to be a calling in your life where it's like, is that really what God called me to do? Because that seems hard, you know? It's like sometimes God actually calls you in the middle of hardship and trials to see how you will grow from it. So Paul wasn't being disobedient. He was already aware of the cost. He knew the struggle he would face. The people around him interpreted the vision through their love for him, so they didn't want him to suffer. And I mean, totally understandable, right? Like if you see something bad that can happen to somebody that you love, you're going to want to stop them, right? But Paul in this story wasn't acting recklessly either. He was actually acting in obedience because, again, in Acts 20, he was compelled by the Spirit and willing to follow even into hardship. And lastly, and this is the weird thing, the Holy Spirit, again, after Acts 21, we don't really hear about the Holy Spirit anymore. And so was God being absent in the life of Paul after that? I don't know. So sometimes maybe God's silence in your life isn't because you're doing something wrong, immoral, or morally compromising, but rather because you have not wavered your faith and you have stayed the path, and so God is trying to grow his trust on you. And it could be that God has shown you a mission and purpose in your life that you are meant to carry, and he's trying to grow faith in you to finish the race he has set you on. Again, Acts 20:24, it says, "My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace." So I have a couple of takeaways for us today. I actually have 3 points for us. So Takeaway number one, God's silence is not God's absence. Acts 21:11 is the last time we hear the Holy Spirit speak to the followers. But if you keep reading the rest of Acts, it feels implied that the Holy Spirit is still moving through Paul. There will be times in our life where God will feel silent, but don't confuse silence with inactivity. God is always moving. God being silent in our life may sometimes mean we don't know how to listen to his voice. God being silent in our life does not mean that he's not moving. And so I just want to point this out today, because if you ever feel like God is not talking to you, maybe you're being called to a season to slow down. In today's modern culture, we live out very busy lives. Family, friends, work, other extracurricular activities, that it's hard to listen to God. Are you taking a moment throughout your day to sit still, reading your Bible, and meditating on his word? Are you taking time throughout your day to pray and worship? Because sometimes taking a day of rest is what you need to be able to tune in to what God is speaking to you. And I think this is why the whole practice of Sabbath is so important, because we, again, live in a culture where it's just go, go, go. You're always on the grind, just trying to make as much as you can, doing everything that you can in order to put yourself ahead. But how often do you take a moment to breathe, listen to what God is telling you, and then now you're complaining in your life? It's like, well, just, you know what, my relationship with God has taken a backseat because he just hasn't shown up in my life. Or maybe you just haven't given God the opportunity to speak to you. Maybe you've been going so fast that you just forget that God is even there, you know? And so it's like, there's a saying, like, Jesus take the wheel. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's a song. It's just like, sometimes you got to be a passenger princess for a moment in your life and allow God to lead you in areas of your life that you need to work on. Because again, just because God isn't speaking into your life does not mean he's absent. Maybe you're just not attentive enough. All right? So, next one is like, on the flip side though, there are some who are deep into the word of God, but it just feels like God isn't moving in your life still. Then in that case, I feel like you and I are on the same boat. I sometimes don't feel God moving in my own personal life, but that could also be because I've been so deeply involved in following the mission he has put me on. So same to Paul, he was compelled to do a mission to go to Jerusalem. I feel compelled to a mission specifically in youth ministry. And so sometimes I don't feel God moving in my personal life, but that could also be because, again, involved in his mission that he has put me into, that I just continue in pure faith and obedience. I know the race I need to run, and I will follow it. Sometimes God's silence for an obedient Christian is a sign of maturity and trust, right? It's like this. Teaching, how old do you kids learn how to ride a bike? I don't know. I don't have children. 5, 6? Yeah, it's like this. So it's like you're teaching, you know, your kid to ride a bike. You're right by them. You're like, little Stevie, go. And then you're like, you're like encouraging them, right? Like, you're doing such a great job. You're balancing well. Oh, fix this a little bit. That way you can keep going faster. And then one day the kid just learns to ride their bike, and you know, you've encouraged them, you've guided them, and then all of a sudden you just let them go. And now they're riding. And so my question is like, did they let that kid go just to abandon them? No, it's because you've trusted them to be able to ride that bike no problem. And so in the same way today, it's like, if you have been so involved in the mission of God and you have been following God and it just feels like there's nothing happening in your life, maybe that's a sign of maturity and trust. Maybe God is saying, it's like, oh, now the mission is on you. Now you got this to be able to spread the gospel, spread the mission, and carry on what I've called you to be. So, for me, youth ministry for me is my race. I care and love the youth, and seeing them grow in their faith is evident enough of God moving through me, regardless of how he moved in my own personal life. And I'm going to brag about the CLY again this year, mostly because I just think they're so cool. Thanks, Dave. And so it's just like, I can't feel God or, you know, in my own personal life, but I can feel the impact he has had through me for them. And with that obedience, there's not much God needs to speak to me about. I'm putting in the work in what he has compelled me to do, just like Paul. It's up to me to keep trusting him until he stirs something new in my heart. And so in this season of my life where I might not hear what God is speaking to me, I just lean into his word. I grow and mature so that I can impart more. I learn more so that I can be able to give more wisdom to the next generation, because the next generation is who God calls to build his kingdom as well. And so again, if you're a parent here, thank you for trusting us with your teenagers. And if you are, you know, a teenager, thank you for allowing us to speak into your life, because you guys are incredible. And so I'm so blessed to be able to, lead and be a part of this with you guys. So yeah, God's silence does not mean he's inactive. It just sometimes means that you need to slow down, or maybe you are just maturing and growing. All right, takeaway number two. This one I call direction to you, confirmation from others. Discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. Discernment means to distinguish, or to separate out by diligent search. So basically, discernment is to be able to kind of like analyze certain things and be able to make decisions out of what you've analyzed, but in a godly way. So in Acts 20, again, I just want to repeat, and now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. So this is the point for this one. God will speak to you first, and sometimes others will confirm it. Paul was given direction to go to Jerusalem, and he was warned of what awaited him. The Spirit spoke to him of the dangers, but he was unsure. However, others confirmed that, right? Agabus, the four unmarried daughters, the other church leaders, like, this will happen to you. And they tell him to, like, don't go, because again, they care for him. But Paul already knew this, right? Like, Paul knew that he's going to have prison and hardship, but he still wants to go because he wants to carry on the mission of Jesus. Now, I just want to say, if someone gives you a word that God hasn't already been steering in your heart, I kind of want to encourage you to be cautious. Question the direction some people might be guiding you. Just because something sounds spiritual doesn't mean it's direction from God. For example, I'm called to a mission to Hawaii. I personally just want a vacation to Hawaii, not actually a mission to Hawaii. And so that's one of the other dangers when you don't surrender things to God, regardless of how it looks. Sometimes we prioritize what we want in our life and label it as if it was a God-given desire. You know, just because something sounds promising doesn't mean it's an opportunity given by God. And this is kind of like why it's important to listen to what the elder leaders said, because it's like Paul was called to go to Jerusalem, but they were telling him not to go because they care for him. And sometimes people project out of love, fear, or even misunderstanding. And this is why the ability to discern is important, because sometimes we can value people's opinions over what God has already told us. And we ourselves sometimes reject our own dreams and desire as if it's been given by God. When you discern situations in your life, I want to encourage you guys to ask this question. Does this align with the mission that God has put on my heart, or does it take me away from it? And what is that mission? If you're getting baptized today, please go to the back and we will dunk you later. Oh, and I want to encourage anybody who's wanting to get baptized, please go as well. We have clothes, we have, you know, extra makeup and hair gel if you want to, so you can look good after your baptism, after we hold you there for an extra 10 seconds. Anyways, all right. So, anyways, going back to it. When it comes to discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit, more often than not, God will speak to you first and bring people along to confirm it. Through trusted sources in your life, though. Agabus, the church leaders, and the unmarried daughters are all trusted sources in Paul's life. And yes, Paul didn't listen to them, but they did confirm the calling God has put on him and was able to discern between the God-given mission and the human desire to protect the loved one. So, I just want to practice discernment for a little bit. So, discernment, again, is making wise decisions based off of what God has told you. And again, a lot of the times God will stir something in you first and others will confirm it. So, scenario. If someone walks up to you and says, God's told me you're supposed to marry me. that hasn't been stirring in your heart, what do you say? Somebody is like, I need a husband. No, the answer is you discern, you think about it, and obviously look at the fruits in their life. But then if that's the case, really, you say respectfully, no, thank you. Easy peasy. All righty, let's try again. Somebody walks up to you and was like, God told me you're supposed to be my wife or husband. What do you say? Discernment. Yes, Kyle. But no, you say respectfully, no, thank you, and discern. Alrighty, that's takeaway number two. Takeaway number two, again, is direction to you, confirmation from others. And takeaway number three, and this is kind of like the kind of hard part. The call of God sometimes includes struggle. Following God is hard. Being Christian doesn't mean life will be easy. In fact, sometimes God calls us into the storm. Sometimes God calls us into a life of hardship. And we are called to hardship and suffering as we follow this journey for God. Paul knew Jerusalem meant hardships and trials, but he went anyway because his life was surrendered to something bigger than his comfort or his fear. Now, a lot of people say, Jesus suffered so we wouldn't have to. But that's not really how it works either. He didn't suffer to make life easy for us. He did it to show us how to navigate suffering and keep going when life gets hard. It's a journey for maturity, growth, and surrender, which means dealing with sin, forgiving people who hurt you, facing things you'd rather avoid, and growing in humility. And let me tell you something incredibly humbling, and this is so good, because even God himself didn't exempt himself from pain and suffering. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And like I said in the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. So Jesus suffered and faced hardships in life to atone for the sins we have made and continue to do. So, again, God didn't suffer so that we wouldn't have to. God suffered so he can model what it's like to walk through a season of hardship with peace, to walk through a season of loneliness with joy, to walk through a season of rejection with still trusting who God is. And so God put himself in a position of brokenness and struggle in order for us to see that there is freedom from sin, there is peace in broken reality, there is joy in a season of hardship, and there is hope in a season of loneliness, and that even the fear of death has no hold over you, because even that Jesus conquered, and there is hope to be on any circumstance you find yourself in. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I want to encourage you today. Keep your faith in obedience, because there is an eternal reward for those who run their race. You might not see it today, but just like Paul, we are still inspired by his word today, by God's word through Paul and how he used Paul in the season of his life. So Paul obeyed and still got arrested. He obeyed and still got beaten. He obeyed and still got rejected. But that same obedience is what brought him before rulers and kings of Rome. That same obedience carried the gospel across nations. That same obedience inspires us 2,000 years later to carry the same mission to spread the good news that is Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, you will be persecuted. You will be made fun of. You might be scoffed at, you might lose friendships or relationships or create unwanted tensions within your family. But allow the life that you live, your maturity and growth, be the evidence that people see on what it's like to live a life for Jesus. Because sometimes the cost of obedience is high, and I get that. But there is a calling in your life, and are you willing to cower in fear rather than step in faith in what God has called you to do? And God will always use obedience whether you see it or not. So again, takeaway number one, I'm just going to summarize everything. God's silence is not God's absence. Takeaway number two, direction to you, confirmation from others, and discernment. And takeaway number three, the call of God often includes a struggle. And that is my three takeaways for you guys today. And I just want to encourage us to all stand up. I'm going to land this plane. I almost said boat. Since it's also baptism Sundays, and I just want to end with this. So one of the conversations I love having in youth is when teens are deciding whether they want to get baptized or not. For those that don't know, baptism is the public declaration of someone that they're dedicating their life to follow and live out their life for God. So I always ask what most people ask. It's like, why do you want to get baptized? And some will have really amazing answers that will be like, oh, it's because Jesus has changed my life and I want to dedicate my life because I love God and I want his calling and purpose over my own. But then there will be, you know, some who will be like, oh, I just want to reset in my life. I want to, you know, restart my life and just make better decisions here on out. But now, I don't stop anyone from getting baptized, but I do inform them of what baptism means and what comes after. And I want people to realize there are times when life gets harder after baptism. There is a process called sanctification where God begins to set you apart, where he begins to filter out old habits that might have been harming you and you didn't know about, relationships, tendencies, and hidden sins and temperament that hinders your growth and your relationship with them. And don't be scared, because this is an incredible process, because there's going to be things in your life that you didn't notice before, but as soon as you choose to follow God and you're like, oh, I didn't know I struggled with joy. I didn't know I struggled with patience. I didn't know I had a hard heart to be able to forgive people. And I just want to say, this is an incredible process, and I think you should step into that. But this is also one of the most vulnerable seasons of your life where the enemy will try to take you out. Now, I don't know how many times I've seen people, friends or teens I had, profess their faith in God through baptism only to not see them 2 weeks later. And so I ask time and time again, not to scare you, but because I love and care about you and Jesus really does care about you, there is a realization that following God will be the decision, the best decision you'll ever make in your life. But the question is, and as you get dunked today, as you get baptized today, is how hard are you willing to stay rooted in his word? How hard are you willing to stay the path and willing to fight for the faith that you said yes to? How hard are you going to fight for who God called you to be and Jesus himself? And so again, I want to encourage you to surrender every part of your life, regardless of every hardship or attack or any trials of life. And if your answer is yes, I want to be that, I want to encourage you today, get baptized. Again, we have all the clothes, we have the things for you. Man, it is such an incredible feeling to go down and be able to come back up and say, God, you are my God, and I'm surrendering my life to you. So, all right, so I'm going to end there. Thank you, guys. What a blessing it is. What a blessing to be a part of what God is doing. And so right now, I just want us to take a moment to pray. And I'm going to lead us in prayer. And so I want us to all close our eyes and bow our heads. And I'm going to lead us in prayer for those who just want to say yes to Jesus. So if you could repeat after me, God, thank you for who you are, for what you've done in the cross. I dedicate my life to you. I say yes to your purpose and your calling over my life. And as I follow you, may I follow you wholeheartedly and continue loving you. And I'm going to end us in prayer here. Lord, thank you so much for everything you do in us and through us. And as we go into baptism today, Lord, may you just bless everybody that's getting baptized. May we be encouragers of faith. And may we be able to share wisdom and share knowledge and be able to share experiences on what it's like to follow you, God. And for those who have a misconception of who you are, Lord, may you just clear their minds to be able to see you for who you are. You are a God of love. You are a God of joy. And you are a God of wisdom who just wants to be a father to the fatherless and be able to be with us in the season of our life. So again, thank you, God, for what you're doing in us and through us. And may we just have an incredible week following you, and may you just ignite this heart for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. All right.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.